We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you not entertained?
I hope so.
Are you not entertained?
Well, you should be, or at the very least informed, even if not entertained. Great to have you along. Here we go, getting into the bonus hour with yours truly, the attack dog of the right, the bombastic loud mouth of the South. Here it is. I knew it was going to happen. I knew sooner or later it would happen. We're all doomed. We are doomed. Greenville, South Carolina, named to the top 10 of best places to live in 2019.
All right, Dan.
So this is going to spell doom for us. Here is how you join me and be a part of the conversation today. Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. My email address, Bob at 1063WORD.com. The email of which I am in receipt says, congratulations. Greenville has been named one of the 2019 top 100 best places to live by livability.com. Not just top 100, made the top 10. Outpacing more than 1,000 cities with populations between 20,000 and 1 million in this data-driven ranking. The 2019 rankings were guided by an exclusive study conducted by livability.com in partnership with Ipsos. More than 1,000 millennials across the country were surveyed, to determine what matters most to them when making relocation decisions. It gets worse. We're not only going to be inundated with more interlopers, the vast majority of them are going to be millennials. The top responses, affordability and job opportunities, were factored into this year's ranking criteria, including, for the first time ever, a cap on housing costs. No city on Livability's 2019 Top 100 Best Places to Live has a median home price exceeding $250,000. Let me digress for a moment. I saw a story, Moneypenny. You know what a one-bedroom apartment rents for now each month in San Francisco? $3,700 a month is the average. Wow. You better be making big bucks in Silicon Valley. The cities on this year's list represent the best of the best when it comes to affordability and opportunity, says Livability.com editor-in-chief Winona Demio-Ediger. These 100 cities are not just fantastic places to live in terms of their amenities, education, healthcare, and infrastructure. They are places where young people can build amazing careers and communities. Well, that's good. I mean, not all the millennials, you know, are all living in the basement and playing video games and watching BSNBC. This year's top 10 cities are Boise, Idaho. This is from 1 to 10. Raleigh, North Carolina. Madison, Wisconsin. All three of those are university towns so far, aren't they? Iowa City, Iowa. That's another one, right? Rochester, Minnesota. Columbia, Missouri. It's another university town. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Peeksburg, Pennsylvania. Lincoln, Nebraska. Another college town. Greenville, South Carolina. Rounding out the top 10. The full list of the 2019 Top 100 Best Places to Live featured on livability.com, and I'm sure it's probably up on the news page on our website, 1063WORD.com. If it's not, it will be shortly. Okay? So, there you go. In on the text line this afternoon, 71307. Let me quickly get caught up here. Bobby, livability.com needs to put a lid on it. We don't need more Yankees moving down, especially millennials. By the way, I am a refugee from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I hear you. Bobby, Mr. McLean, how come my analog light dimmer comes on an hour later when the time changes, but it's still correct at dusk?
Don't!
Semper Fi. Bobby, I know there's the common sense text line number, but what's the text number for no common sense? That would, of course, be DNC headquarters in Washington, D.C. Bobby, pollen. The mayor's car had pollen all over it. She said it was a racist attack. The bees apparently in Lamar are racist. Okay, there we go. I love this one today too. I guess this we can. We ran this early today, so let me go ahead and use the occasional Cortex intro again here.
And now, another Alexandria Occasional Cortex breaking news update.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, this one is not actually AOC herself. It is her mom, the mother of Soak the Rich Congresswoman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Mom said she was forced to flee from the Big Apple and move to Florida because of high taxes. Yeah. Quote, I was paying $10,000 a year in real estate taxes up north. I'm paying $600 a year in Florida. It's stress-free down here, said Blanca Ocasio-Cortez, speaking to the newspaper The Daily Mail in the UK from her home in Eustace, Freudian slip, a town of less than 20,000. In central Florida, north of Orlando, the mother of herself, who the mother of two, who calls herself BOC, they get it, AOC and BOC, said she picked Eustace because a relative already lived there, and right before Christmas, she paid $87,000 for an 860-square-foot home on a quiet street that dead-ends at a cemetery. She knows how to pick real estate. Her daughter raised eyebrows with her pitch to raise the top marginal tax rate on income earned above $10 million to 70%. She's also gotten behind the so-called Green New Deal. Well, that's her thing. That would see a massive and costly government effort to address climate change, the way FDR launched his New Deal to rescue the U.S. economy during the Depression, which actually, of course, extended the Depression for another decade. It wasn't until World War II came along that we were pulled out of the recession, despite FDR's New Deal. So there you go. There's the BOC AOC update for today. Yeah. Moved out of New York because of high taxes. There's a delicious irony to that. Quarter after six here on the Bobby Mac Show. When we come back on the other side, interesting column today at Zero Hedge. Socialism in the UK, what's it mean? Here's a hint, you ain't gonna like it.
Work, 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 work.
You're absolutely right, Governor LePetitmaine. That's what we do each day, Monday through Friday, slaving away for 4 hours each afternoon through PM drive, as they say in radio parlance, here at 106.3. In on the text line, Bobby, you should be ashamed of yourself for making fun of my bullet train from New York to London. You ask a stupid question about how the ships would get through with the tracks in the ocean. But anyone should know that I'll have a drawbridge for the ships. Sincerely, AOC, New York City. thanks, Alexandria. Bobby, about Greenville being in the top 10 most attractive places to live for millennials, you know what the attraction is? Yeah, it's the roads.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Yeah. I don't think so. I mentioned before we went to the break, piece today at ZeroHedge.com, authored by Simon Black at TheSovereignMan.com. The events that I am about to describe to you are 100% true. And I've talked about some of these. They've already happened to various people across the United Kingdom, which in some respects is leading the charge to 21st century Big Brother authoritarianism. Thank you. Easy for me to spit out. It's all real and it's all disturbing. To humanize it a little bit, we've pulled several true events together into a single story about a man we'll call George. George thinks he might stop by the community garden. His neighbors regularly gather there around a waist-deep inflatable pool they bought to beat the summer heat. But then he remembers that the landlords ordered the pool removed. They were concerned that a burglar might inadvertently hurt himself while attempting to rob a home, so the pool needed to go. Instead, George figures he'll get a start on some errands. He hops in his work van and stops for a bite to eat on the way into town. But when George's Meat Lover's Pizza arrives, it looks quite sparse, smaller than he remembers. Public Health England has new standards we're following, the man behind the counter explains. We've cut the meat and reduced the size in order to combat childhood obesity. Well, I'm not a child, George thinks, but politely keeps it to himself. So George parks downtown and, still feeling a bit peckish, throws away the empty pizza box in the trash bag in the back of the van. But before he can get his shopping started, a member of the local council enforcement approaches. He noticed the trash in the back of George's work van. Do you have a waste carrier's license to carry rubbish in a commercial vehicle? What, to throw out my lunch? I mean, I didn't toss it out the window, did I? George received a £300 fine. Yes, in the UK, you now need a license to have trash in your private property. Well, by now, George is understandably feeling a little bit peeved. And when he sees a sign that says police are conducting a facial recognition trial, he pulls his sweatshirt up over his face. But he hasn't gone 12 paces before officers pull him aside. It says participation isn't mandatory, George protests. Awfully suspicious to cover your face. What are you trying to hide? Piss off, George shouts. So the bobbies issue George a £90 public order fine for swearing. No, apparently you can't opt out of optional facial recognition, nor can you swear in the UK. Exasperated, George continues to the hardware store. He has to buy a hammer and nails so that he and his neighbors can build a barricade in front of their homes. There's a big festival coming to town, and last year, police failed to stop revelers from inflicting massive property damage on shops and homes, in addition to the multiple stabbings and a number of acid attacks. At first, George thought the barriers were a bit of overkill. Perhaps he could just get some pepper spray instead. But when he checked the official UK police resource website, George was appalled to read that the only fully legal self-defense product at the moment is a rape alarm. So, no pepper spray. Too much liability, you know. George arrives home, ready to build, but gets a knock on the door. It's the UK Anti-Terrorism Police Unit. They received a call from a concerned citizen who had seen the recent Life Has No Rewind Button commercials. The videos tell citizens to report any suspicious behavior because reporting suspicious activity won't ruin lives, but it might save them. Well, just as in the commercial, the citizen grew concerned when she saw George buying a hammer. Citizens are told to report on others who make purchases of weapons or other objects that could be used to cause harm. It takes George the better part of an hour to prove his innocence to the officers. By the time they leave, his tooth is aching again from all the stress. Whatever happened to that National Health Service request I made a year and a half ago, George thinks. He contacts the NHS, who tell him, just wait patiently. You'll be seen when the resources become available. But he's already waited over a year and is losing patience. Who knows how much longer it will take? So George clamps a pair of pliers around his tooth and yanks it clean out. Just another day in the socialist UK. And to continue learning how to ensure you thrive no matter what happens in the next world, I encourage you to download our free Perfect Plan B guide. This is from Zero Hedge today, authored by Simon Black at the website sovereignman.com. Yeah, I remember. You remember Moneypenny when we read the story about the guy that pulled out his own tooth? Because he'd been waiting a year and a half for the National Health Service to be able to get around to him. Ay, ay, ay. Now, there is some good news today, and we'll share it with you on the other side after Annie is here with the real news from the WORD News Center. See you back on the other side, 6:29 here on Tuesday evening.
Excellent.
You sex a thing. 6:38, 22 before 7 here, the Bobby Mac Show. Nice little sunset working in the background. Heard Annie talking about that, what's going on in New Hampshire. These red flag bills are being used by progressives as a weapon of war on the Bill of Rights. There's a big piece on this today on the web. At Town Hall, red flag bills are measures authorizing confiscation of firearms, often without notice or opportunity to be heard. Confiscation is triggered by police or individuals known as petitioners who claim the owner might be a risk to themselves or to others. Unless these bills are very narrowly drafted, they obviously threaten the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms, but they can also be employed to attack the Fourth Amendment, your right to a jury trial and to confront opposing witnesses, and the 14th Amendment's guarantee of due process of law. House Bill 19-1177 just passed the Colorado House of Representatives, which was taken over by the left in the 2018 elections. And in some ways, it's more extreme than a comparable measure recently passed in where else, New York. In our system of justice, it's unusual for a court to issue an order affecting a person's rights without giving that person an opportunity to be heard. Such orders generally are issued only to protect the petitioner against imminent danger by preserving the status quo for the short time before an early hearing. To obtain such an order, the petitioner usually must meet a high burden of proof and post bond to protect the other party from potential damage due to false accusation. But in Colorado, the bill authorizes orders without notice or opportunity to be heard, and the standards are applied in a very different way. First, these orders do not merely preserve the status quo. They authorize officials to confiscate a victim's firearms and concealed carry permit for 14 days. Secondly, the risk need not be especially high. Despite the measure's references to extreme risk, the measure requires only significant risk, a term that in legal usage can fall well short of probable. And third, the risk need not be imminent. It can be hypothesized for any future time. Fourth, the standard of proof is low, a fair preponderance of the evidence. Since the victim is unaware of the proceedings and can't defend himself, in most cases, the petitioner's allegations and exhibits will suffice. As a result, innocent people can be stripped arbitrarily of their property and their means of self-defense. The most likely victims will be women, the elderly, and the poor. Some petitioners may be evildoers seeking vengeance or seeking to disarm a future victim. Once the 14-day period expires, if the petitioner decides not to proceed further, perhaps because the victim is now dead, the order expires. But the bill's sponsors provide no guarantee the victim's property would be restored in a timely manner, if at all. And it sought to force the victim to reapply for a concealed carry permit. Only last-minute amendments provided for return of the victim's property and any concealed carry permit. If the petitioner wants the order to last more than 14 days, then the measure requires what is called a hearing. But perhaps on the pretext that this is not a criminal prosecution, the hearing violates normal Bill of Rights standards. There's no jury. The judge may rely on affidavits instead of personal testimony, thereby rendering cross-examination impossible. Some hearings may be held by telephone rather than in person, rendering it more difficult to assess the credibility of a witness. Liberals of a prior generation crusaded to end property seizures without prior notice. Capping their efforts, the celebrated Supreme Court decision Snydak versus Family Finance Corporation, 1969, which held that even temporary seizure without a hearing violates the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause. Just last month, the Supreme Court's four old-style liberals joined the other justices in ruling that states could not impose excessive forfeitures of property, even on those found guilty of a crime. So, just to make you aware of what is in the wind here, okay? 6:43, and I promised some good news for today, and here we go.
Time to feel good. It's Bobby Mack's good news.
Yes, indeedy. This is pretty interesting. Wouldn't it be great if everybody could love their job this much? 88-year-old fella near Minneapolis. His name is Art Mason. He is finally retiring this year for the second time. As I mentioned, he's 88, used to work in a factory, retired when he was around 60, but he needed something to do, and his local McDonald's didn't have enough people. So the manager asked him if he'd like to fill in for a couple of weeks. Well, the couple of weeks turned into 29 years working the drive-through. Talk about the patience of Job. He's outlasted every other employee, all the managers, and even the original owners.
Good morning. How's the driving?
I love Art. Art's awesome. Yay, Art.
How about two small Sprites, two sausage muffins, and a hash brown?
That's it.
Okay. I was 60 when I retired. That was good. But for 3 months, and I was bored to death.
29 years, and I'll be 89 in May.
The scarf around his neck, one of his customers made that for him.
That's beautiful. I got so many compliments from this thing. These are all my pins that people have sent me. Germany and Sweden, Holland, all around good people. A lot of them here.
But I come here every day because of him.
The people. The people I'm going to really miss.
I didn't know you were retiring.
Yeah. Oh. I'm going to have to.
Bones are getting old.
You can't.
I'm planning on leaving the 10th if I make it that far. Have a good one. Happy driving.
Yeah. What, Art Mason, going to be 89 in May. He loves a drive-through because, as you probably gathered, he's a big people person. He loves interacting with all the customers, and they pretty much feel the same way about him. He says he really doesn't want to retire yet, but says he has more aches and pains than he used to. I know the feeling, so he thinks it's finally time. His last day will be May 10th, just a few days before his 89th birthday. Good on you, Art Mason in Minnesota, retiring finally at almost 89. Quarter before 7 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Be right back.
Yeah. Rock on, brother.
That's what we do. Even in the final 10 minutes here on Tuesday in the Bobby Mack Show, let me catch up with the last iteration of the text line for this evening. Bob, so based on New York, New Hampshire, Colorado, etc., you think the Dems won't try for our guns despite anything Trump does? They already are. You know, the evidence is right there in front of us. God bless Art Mason. Yeah, the subject of our good news story today. Godspeed in May. You'll only hear these stories in America. Democrat, socialist, please get a freaking clue. By the way, one other note on BOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's mom, where she talked about she moved to Florida because the taxes in New York were too high. She also took pains to point out that her daughter is not a socialist. No, no, no. She's a democratic socialist. Uh-huh. I would hasten to tell AOC's mom the East Germans were also democratic socialists. How'd that work out? Didn't end up with a wall to keep their citizens in? Yeah. Bob, AOC's mother moved from New York City to escape high taxes? What a hypocrite. Yeah, no kidding. Bobby, in order to preserve the Second Amendment, it may become necessary for patriots and militia, along with other concerned citizens, to stand up and force a ceasing of the red flag law. It can already take somebody's guns if it becomes apparent it's necessary. The red flag law is too easy for the Democrat Socialist Party to use. Right now, we outnumber the clowns against guns 8-1. We have to keep those numbers even if the Liberty Tree needs to be replenished. Bobby, I don't know how to tell you, but it seems like your emergency broadcast testing works like the government. It didn't. What, the tone didn't fire?
I heard it.
Yeah, we heard it here. In any event, Bobby, that NHS crap sounds just like the VA medical service, the result of big government being in control of healthcare. Bad idea. Bobby, OMG, how much will poor George in the UK, how much will he be fined pulling his own tooth and charged with practicing medicine without a license? Love your show, Bobby. Thanks for the airplane clip. Priceless from D in Greenville. Thank you, D. What's our Victor? Victor? Roger, over. What? Bobby, did you know it's now illegal to insult Allah in England? Yeah, you can go to jail. Oh, by the way, and if somebody breaks into your home to kill you and you need to defend yourself, you can be charged. Swell. Now, Bobby, where does Pacolet rate on that livability list? Got to be right up there, doesn't it? Bobby, any questions about why the British don't rule the world anymore? And don't you ever wonder how they ever did? Gotcha. Bobby, just wanted to let you know about Eustace, Florida. That's where AOC's mom lives. My wife comes from there. And yes, You are right. It is useless. Not Eustace. Thanks. Appreciate that. One other story. I almost put this in good news, but when somebody ends up losing a job, I couldn't quite make it get over the bar for that. But it's a story of somebody who actually lives a principled life. A New Jersey University dean resigns after the school board banned Chick-fil-A on campus despite its being the students' top pick. The university said in an email to students November last that the chain restaurant's corporate values have not sufficiently progressed enough to align with those of Rider, R-I-D-E-R, that's the college. Chick-fil-A under scrutiny since 2012 after the CEO, Dan Cathy, defined marriage between a man and a woman, as the book does. Rider's College of Business Dean Cynthia Newman announced her resignation February 14th and will be effective August 31st, according to Campus Reform. I felt like I was punched in the stomach when I read that statement because I'm a very committed Christian, and Chick-fil-A's values, their corporate purpose statement is to glorify God in and to be faithful stewards in all that is entrusted to them and to have a positive influence on everyone who comes into contact with them. And that mirrors my personal beliefs perfectly. Newman immediately contacted university leadership, asked them to apologize for the offense in the statement they made to the campus community. No apology forthcoming. Newman said she could not go through with the talking points issued by the school because the university did not apologize for the offense to Christian values. Well, they believe in diversity, except, of course, when they differ from their own progressive agenda. And to wrap things up for today, thanks so much for being along, and we will see you right back here tomorrow. God bless.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter, every time we say goodbye, goodbye.
You say goodbye.
What?
And I say hello.
Hello. I must be going.
All right, Dan.
I must be going.
So long, farewell, our feet are saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye to you.
Enjoy the show.
Goodbye.
Concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.